passion for the planet, sound publishing,
the environment, health, alternative solutions.
I'm Chantal Cook. With vampire movies all the rage, bats tend to get a bad press. But according to Dr. Carol Williams from the Bat Conservation Trust, they play a very important role in our ecosystems.
In general, if you have a good bat population, then you're likely actually to have a healthy environment. And that's been recognised recently by the government, and bats are now recognised as indicators of biodiversity.
How do you think people's feelings are about bats? Because obviously lots of people like birds and like feeding the birds and so on in their back garden, but they don't necessarily feel quite the same way about bats.
No, it's true. In fact, I'd say in the last decade or two that I've been involved with bats that they have become much better understood by the general public, but it's still not quite appreciated perhaps the role they play. People will watch swifts and swallows and house martins and not only marvel at their aerial acrobatics but think, oh, isn't it wonderful they're feeding on all those insects and keeping things in correct balance. Well, of course, that's exactly the role that bats play too. They are our swallows of the night. They take over the night shift, and equally, although we can't always see it, they're with those aerial acrobatics. And there are insect species, of course, that are around only at night, and they're all part of that important balance in nature to be up there feeding and high up in the food chain. So they really represent habitats and all of the species that they support, right from the lowliest invertebrates, everything sort of being in good order. Hence the fact that our bat species in this country, all of them, took a huge crash in the last, say, 50 years ago and are only now seeing the slight signs of recovery. It shows how important they are to us to monitor their change.
And how bat-friendly are our cities?
It does vary. I think a lot of cities, we're fortunate in having wonderful parks, rivers flowing through, perhaps with wooded edges. What you really need is just somewhere to feed. Gardens can be important in this, allotments can be important, and certainly that green corridor and native vegetation being around, water being around. But also we have to think about lighting, because it's a great shame when huge tracts of what would be really useful for bats to commute and feed in are actually lost because they're brightly lit at night. Sometimes it might be necessary to a certain degree, but there's a lot of light spill out there, and that loses that environment, not only for bats, but for other nocturnal species too.
Lots of people get frightened of bats because they think, I don't know, they're going to attack them, or they're vampire bats or something like that. So what do we actually really get in the UK?
We have 17 species of bat. They're all insectivorous. They only feed on insects. Having said that, there's a wide variety. They're really interesting animals to study because they have their own niches. We have ones that prefer to feed over water and have extra big feet to enable them to do so. We have ones that if you're out at dusk and the swifts are just finishing the day shift, they'll be way up high. They fly very fast, so they're not very scared of predators. They're the nocturnal bats. So for every little niche, there's a bat that fits into it, but their echolocation is second to none. They don't do anything like get tangled in your hair. They are absolutely no threat to us. They are purely a positive thing to share our environment and a joy to watch. And if you get a bat detector, it opens up a whole new world. And our wonderful local bat groups host bat walks all over the country. I'd say go along, find out about them, and once you're hooked, you'll never look back.
And are there ways in which I can encourage more bats in my garden?
I suppose I would say the main thing is to do things that would attract insects, by and large, and a little bit of shelter. So if you have ponds or a bit of damp garden there, if you have native vegetation, and of course night-scented flowers, things like the tobacco plant and honeysuckle, anything that's scented at night that attracts insects will of course also attract the bats. And of course if you have mature trees, if you're lucky enough to have those, then any cracks and crevices might be used by bats. So don't cut down things that look like it might be a bit of a rotting limb. Give it a chance for bats perhaps to use that. Bat boxes aren't always taken up immediately, I'm afraid, like blue tip boxes might be, but it never hurts to give bats a chance to find another home if they're actually short of one. But of course, cracks and crevices in our buildings, not necessarily within the buildings themselves, can offer them an opportunity to roost. So please do be very careful when you're thinking of any maintenance work to consider whether bats may actually already be there and you may not even be aware of them. Obviously, the most important thing is where we have our bat roosts now, we do need to look after those. those. When there are new buildings, then there are opportunities to be considered right at the outset. A lot of them, as I say, for crevice dwelling bats, very easy to accommodate just by leaving a gap of something like 2 centimetres for them to get into a crevice. Think about where you might not want to make any changes for a good while and leave those sorts of opportunities. We do have bats that need more room to fly around, so there are those opportunities in new buildings, where perhaps say it's a public building, you think, well, we're school, why not let that little roof space be left for if bats should want to take up that option. And then of course there's always a lot you could learn by perhaps putting in something like an infrared viewer and seeing how bats behave within their roofs, because they are tremendously interesting animals to watch and observe. If you do come across what you think may be a bat roost, then it's worth remembering that they are actually protected by law. Now, this is bats and their roosts, even if the bats aren't present at the time, due to this huge decline that they had suffered. What you just need to do is to contact the Statutory Nature Conservation Organisation, so that's like Natural England or CCW if you're in Wales. Or if you do need advice, you can contact the Bat Conservation Trust on their bat helpline, which is 0845 1300 228, and they'll be able to give you advice or point you in the right direction, just to ensure that what you do doesn't breach any of that legislation and that our bats and their roosts are preserved for the future.
That's Dr. Carol Williams from the Bats Conservation Trust, and there are lots more interviews available on demand at passionfortheplanet.com.
This is a Passion for the Planet Sound publication. For more information about Passion for the Planet Sound publishing, visit passionfortheplanet.com.